Bill Russell, and I, Paula Gordon, are delighted to be with Iman. You talk about the beauty of color. I remember vividly having a young friend who was just as racist as she could be, and it was at the time of the great discoveries about the origins of humanity. She said, but if that's true that we all come out of Africa, then we're all black. Mm. I said, yep. Well, it was for her, I think, one of those days in her life she may remember. We're all of color.
Exactly.
White is the absence of color. The only people who are white of any part of the species are albino and have no pigment. So
I know. That's why, you know, my daughter doesn't call her father David Bowie white. She calls him pink.
She calls him dad.
I know. When, you know, if there is a color to it, it's pink. Yeah. I am like dark chocolate. She's light chocolate. He's pink. And that is from a five-year-old mouth. Because, yeah, you said it. It's not like nobody has any color or there is something called white. Or because nobody's really black or nobody's really white. The skin of color, it was a way to actually say, because people don't understand that there are really more similarities in people than there are differences. I was majoring in political science. So I viewed, when I was creating Iman Cosmetics 10 years ago, I viewed it as a creation of a political dialogue, so that to bring into the whole part the idea of the politics of beauty. Do you understand?
Yes. Yeah.
So, because when I came to America in 1975, the first perplexing question at a fashion shoot on my third day in New York was makeup artists asking me, did you bring your own foundation? And I thought, well, why?
Why are you here?
Yeah. What are you doing then? But I say perplexing because I was never asked to the Caucasian model. So, I learned quite fast that my image and my photographs are what will be my currency. So I have to be in control of it, because nobody will say the photographs look bad because the makeup artist was bad. So I started creating products for myself.
When we made commercials, we always said to each other, you know, there are no footnotes that give the excuses, and that's sort of what you're saying.
You know, lighting director, the photographer, all of those things don't particularly in photography. It's one thing. There are no credits. It's either you or nothing.
Or exactly. You are your own currency, and especially if you are a black model, because there were very few of us working, and it was like we should be privileged that we're working. So if we didn't look good, it was you're out of the door.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We're accustomed to talking about globalization principally in economic terms. Everybody talks about it in money. And of course, your cosmetics line is an international economic entity.
Yes.
But this book is to me, probably the most pleasant representation of globalization.
Yes.
And in some ways, I won't say profound, but it tends in that direction. That the similarities, the commonalities, the distinctions, but the what you've done is sort of universalize a range of beauties.
That's what my intention was. How to celebrate all the things that make us women, and what is it that all of us want, regardless whether what our skin color is, our ethnicity is, our race is, or socioeconomic is. All women want to just look beautiful. Let's start with that. The universal thing that we have in common, the universal desire that we all have in common. I wanted to start from there and then just celebrate. Rather, I have no intention to preach, because I could be a good preacher on this, because I am very heavy into politics and the politics of beauty. But when it comes to cosmetics, I wanted a self-empowerment. I wanted women, especially young. I've just turned 50, so I have really young people who look up to me. And there are a whole new generation who's growing up, who have identity crisis, because we have now this rush to extreme makeovers and surgery at a young, young age. So I wanted something that to them, that there is really no standard of beauty. You have to really create your own standard of beauty.
Well, and as you have said, of your beautiful neck, it is those things that are exceptional to which people pay attention.
Exactly.
And you can think of it as a divot.
Exactly. I hated my neck when I was growing up because it was unusual. And then that becomes what became, made me actually, what was unusual of me is what became celebrated of me. But that there's beauty in all of us is that instead of making everybody want to look like a Jennifer Lopez or want to look like someone, how about finding the beauty that's within you and the God-given features? Because I, as I was saying to you earlier, I have known a lot of beautiful people who are ugly. So it doesn't really... The self-love and the self-acceptance is very, very important in really in trying to even achieve anything in makeup or cosmetics.
There is, there's a section in this book that is makeovers, that you start with somebody, you know, just sort of looking like they've had a day at the office.
Yes.
And then go through steps, and then there's the end product. And, of course, it's sort of the before and after, and as you might imagine to our audience, after is much better than before.
Different.
But, well, it's actually more...
Better.
But it's the reason for that, and this is a tribute to you... As the stylist, as, you know, and what you were doing, it's a tribute to the photographer. It's a tribute to the makeup, obviously, a whole bunch of things. But what appears to be happening is that the inside of the person comes out. The person appears to be more present.
Yes,
it does not appear to be an artifice, which is a startling thing because I'm accustomed to thinking of makeup as artifice.
Exactly, and it is. Makeup can vary. The whole identity of makeup is started with being artificial. It never is supposed to make you look like you. It's supposed to make you look like somebody else. And, you know,
make me look like you.
Yeah, exactly. We
good
always
luck, Bill.
we always guys it. It make you a better you. It usually changes you. These makeovers, and everybody have told me how they loved it because the women jump out at you. It's because I never said I will make you how I see you. I ask them, how do you see yourself? Because then I can show you how makeup can be truly a self-expression. The way you see yourself, don't think it like it's not possible. It's very possible. I'll tell you the tricks of the trade, but it's possible. It's how you see yourself. It's not what I tell you. It's like when you walk up walking into a department store and you see a makeup artist, full tribal war on face. I don't want to go near them because if they put that on themselves, I don't want them to help me. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I had that experience when I got my first big job in television. I'd gone to Chicago. They'd hired me. They said, go to this very swank salon. And they did the full tilt. And I mean, it was quite an experience.
Yes.
I got home, back to my apartment. I looked at the mirror and I called my mother. And I'm looking at this person in the mirror whom I did not recognize. And I called my mom. I said, will you still love me if I'm beautiful? And she said, what? I said, I don't recognize this person in the mirror. She said, makeup has nothing to do with beauty.
Exactly.
The beauty comes from the inside.
Absolutely.
Well, then the struggle was, how do you begin to use that tool?
Yes.
And it seemed to me as I was enjoying this book that you were making that transition, that the beauty was inside and that the makeup was a tool.
And the most important person that I asked to write a foreword was, because I've really thought thoroughly, is somebody who has her own beauty and is recognized for her own beauty, but that she's conscious. And I've never met Salma Hayek before all this. And I've written to her, and she was very intrigued, and she asked me for the galley. I sent her the galley, and she just said, yes, I want to be part of this. I want to write it. And she says it succinctly in one sentence, if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, then let the beholder be you. And that is what the whole thing is, the push of it, the behind this whole manifesto, as I call it. Because for me, this is not a beauty book. It is a beauty tool. I'm giving you all the tricks and trades of 15 years as a model and 10 years as a cosmetic executive. Everything is possible. You pick and choose what you want to look like, but feel beautiful first.
There's a long-standing rule in this country that children, it's not the case anymore, but an old saying that children should be seen and not heard. And that phrase I've often heard applied to models.
Yes.
And in some cases, in our limited experience, it was actually the case. And it is surprising, because I really didn't know anything about your career. you know, just sort of distant. You know, I'd heard the name, and that was yes. about all. So I sat down and started reading this book. I said, a model, let's see. Somebody had to ghostwrite this, and then and on all the stuff that goes with that. And, you know, we'll get her picture, and we'll sell lots of books. And this is, you know, this is another star vehicle. And obviously a model can't be this smart. I was wrong.
Wrong.
But you know, once I started paying attention, part of this, and it's part of what's wonderful about this book, it just, you know, it crushes a lot of stereotypes.
Yes.
And there's a lot to be said for getting rid of some of the stereotypes.
Yes, it's very true. It's very true. And, you know, and a lot of times when I, like, when I go to a book signing or I'll go to where my makeup is sold and there's makeovers and women, and women come, when I come in, first of all, they don't talk to me. Because it's like they think, you know, unapproachable kind of thing. Or so, you know.
She's famous. I can't.
Yeah, I can't. Or I can never look at her. Or they'll say, oh, yes, it's good for you to say that foundation is good. And then I'll say, all you have to do is try. You don't have to ever buy anything. Because, you know, nowadays you can go to any department store, even Walmart and Walgreens. Now they are.
I don't go to Walmart, but that's a political statement.
Oh, well, no, I don't. I know what you mean. But, you know, and people can go and ask for samples and stuff like that. So it's not really something that one should not try it. But the empowerment is a totally different game. It's not about cosmetics, and it's not about cosmetic surgery, and it's not about God loved you and gave you good genes, you know. That's not it. That's not it. It comes really by feeling comfortable in your own skin.
This is Iman, and I am so pleased to say she not only feels comfortable in her own skin, she makes the rest of us feel comfortable and delighted in her skin and in much more. And she talks about a great deal of that in The Beauty of Color, the ultimate beauty guide for skin of color. We'll all be back in a moment with Iman. Be with us when we return.